Hello there. Today is Wednesday, June the 15th. This is VOA's International Edition. I'm Lori London in Washington. Coming up, a live update from Orlando on the mass shooting investigation. Sunday's terror attack has once again revived the gun debate in the United States. A two-year-old child has been killed by an alligator in Florida.
Likely no question in my mind that the child was drowned by the alligator.
Also ahead, what the U.S. Federal Reserve says about interest rates and a national program taking seriously cities that promote playtime. It's all on today's International Edition. President Barack Obama is going to Orlando, Florida on Thursday to meet with the victims of the worst mass shooting in U.S. history and to stand in solidarity with the city shaken by violence. The White House says that along with the survivors of the massacre at the gay nightclub, the president will meet with first responders as well as doctors and surgeons treating the wounded. Meanwhile, the FBI says the wife of the man who killed 49 people at the Pulse nightclub, Omar Mateen, had some knowledge about his plans and may have failed to alert police. A law enforcement official says a federal grand jury will consider whether to bring charges against the wife. Authorities say the 29-year-old Mateen legally bought the weapons used in the attack earlier this month, including a semi-automatic assault rifle. And this tragedy has again reignited the debate over gun laws. In Washington today, Democratic lawmakers have been taking a stand. VOA Capitol Hill correspondent Catherine Gibson is with us. Catherine, you were there on Capitol Hill today. Fill us in.
This is really the capstone to what has been a week of members of Congress coming back, hearing the news about the Orlando shooting, and saying, once again, we can't have these moments of silence. We can't acknowledge these tragedies without action. So on the House floor Monday night, they started chanting "Pass the bills," pushing for gun control legislation, and the Republican leadership would not recognize some of the Democrats who were asking for that. That turned into a whole tense, chaotic situation on the House floor. And then you just heard over these past days, as more news of Orlando came out, people saying that we really have to do something this time around. This is the worst mass shooting that we've ever had in the United States. What's going to happen other than these moments of silence? And so I think this Senate filibuster really jumps off from those feelings and emotions that have been brewing in Congress these past few days.
For folks out there that don't understand what that means, a filibuster, can you just give us a brief explanation?
Sure. So it's basically a fancy way of saying stalling. The Senate Democrats are basically stalling the business on the Senate floor by talking about this issue that they care about. They're trying to push gun control legislation, and they're saying they're just going to keep on talking, keep on stalling the business of the Senate floor until there's some movement and some sign that they can vote on gun control legislation.
Did it seem like they were making any progress?
Well, they've been going for 3 to 4 hours now as we're talking on Wednesday afternoon, and in terms of a filibuster, they've been known to go on for hours on end. And fortunately, in some filibusters, it has to be the one person talking. But in this case, because of the rules, they are allowed to switch on and off so different people can come on. So it's a very much a team effort on the part of the Senate Democrats.
Is this just symbolic, or could they actually get something accomplished this way?
That's a great question. And that's the question that was being asked over on the side of the House of Representatives yesterday and on Monday. You know, how do we really make movement on this? People thought that there would be movement after Newtown when 20-something children were shot and killed. They thought they would happen when the people in the movie theater in Aurora were killed. The question is on everybody's minds, what is the thing that changes this? Maybe the filibuster is.
What are some of the ideas they are looking at as far as passing gun control legislation?
So some of the ideas for gun control legislation are coming directly from some of the aspects of the investigation that are emerging from the Orlando shooting. We know that the shooter in Orlando had been investigated twice by the FBI. Some Republicans are calling for what's called the no-fly, no-buy, which means that if you are on the FBI terror watch list, you are not allowed to purchase a gun. There are also calls for enhanced background checks and those types of things that would stall some of the bad people from getting their hands on guns.
All right. Thank you so much, Catherine. Let's take a look at now what's trending on social media today. For that, we turn to our social media guru, G. Abby Lee. Hi, G. What are people talking about? Same thing, right?
They are. And we want to hear straight from the source always. So we're going to go straight to Senator Murphy's Twitter account. He is on Twitter at Chris Murphy CT. That's for Connecticut. And this is the most popular tweet. I am prepared to stand on the Senate floor and talk about the need to prevent gun violence for as long as I can. I have had hashtag enough. Within 5 hours, nearly 11,000 people liked that tweet.
So is hashtag enough the trending hashtag today, the big one?
Yeah, but hashtag filibuster, of course, is one of the more popular ones. And the other hashtags commonly used with that are hashtag gun sense, hashtag disarm hate, and hashtag hold the floor.
So where did you watch the filibuster?
Probably the same place that you watched it. The Huffington Post streamed it live on Facebook, and in the caption, it asked people to leave questions so its reporters on location can try to ask them. More than 21,000 people responded to that live stream, and it got more than 60,000 comments, and nearly 10,000 people shared it. CNN Politics didn't live stream the event, but posted an article about it on Facebook. The top two comments to that article came from people who oppose the filibuster. One person wrote, "All I'm hearing is screw your due process. Right to bear arm is not the only right we are being attacked on. Love how this turned from a terrorist attack to all gun owners being considered as criminals or terrorists." Another person argued after the 9/11 attack happened, there was no filibuster on airplanes. Now, to that argument, many explained new measures were introduced at the airport to strengthen the security check. Lori?
Thanks so much for that wrap-up, G. You can tweet your questions and comments to at VOA underscore IE. Tag G and I on those tweets. Her handle is at G Abby Lee. You can also tweet me at Lori London. Thanks, G. Here are some of the other stories we're following at voanews.com. What is the U.S. terrorist watch list and how does it work? A gay imam fears more, quote, loss of goodwill. A Washington Post reporter questions Donald Trump's knowledge of free press in America. President Obama says women's equality is a national security issue. And drinking hot beverages is linked to cancer. Expanded coverage of these stories and much more are on voanews.com and on our mobile app. This is International Edition. VOA's International Edition continues. Let's go to Orlando, Florida, for the latest on the aftermath of Sunday's tragedy. VOA correspondent Arash Arabasadi joins us now for that part of the story.
We actually learned a few things speaking with various people throughout the LGBT and non-LGBT communities down in Orlando. We found out that there are two local bars tonight. One of them is a gay bar. One of them is not a gay bar. And they're both holding fundraisers for the newly unemployed who did survive the Pulse shooting. The one bar we know is offering certain drink specials where the proceeds go straight to those who are now out of work, and the later evening get-together at a place called Southern Nights. It's a gay bar there. All the proceeds, 100%, are going to those who are now out of work. We are also, today, we've been at the center in Orlando, which is the GLBT and LGBT community center down here, where there have been literally truckloads of donations. There's an entire tractor-trailer truck parked in the back that is serving as a cooler for perishable food. The center now is full of all kinds of everything from toilet paper to potato chips to plastic and paper plates. And for the once again, as of Saturday, none of it existed. And they said within a day, the place is busting at the seams. And we actually just found out that the governor will be coming by here this afternoon, later on this evening, to actually congratulate everybody for all the efforts they've been doing and thank them for being Orlando Strong.
What's the mood there? Is it still just one of solidarity and Orlando Strong, or is the reality of what has happened starting to set in at all?
No, I don't think the reality has started to set in. Folks that we talked to have told us really in no uncertain terms that they expect that next phase of anger to start coming anytime soon. But right now, it's still unity. It's still how can we pull each other up and help each other out. And in fact, where we were downtown, where there was a candlelight vigil Monday night, there's a memorial there now. There's still people there turning out by the dozens to just kind of throw an arm around each other's shoulders and be there as a sign of support. We're also told the food was taken from the center Orlando to some of the funerals that started today. So they've been going to funeral homes. They've been going to and from local businesses. And in fact, one representative of the human rights campaign down here told us that restaurants in the past who had very openly said they will not serve gay couples and that gay couples are not welcome in the restaurant have donated food and donated supplies. So once again, we can kind of see that this tragedy has transcended a lot of the political norms that have become popularized in the United States recently. There's dozens of volunteers who are here. Everybody who's in the center right now is a volunteer. And it's dozens of them, young people, older people, there's families in here, little mm-hmm. kids in here. And it's just, you know, they're either packaging food that has come from local restaurants and putting them in these baskets to take, once again, to funeral homes or to take to people who are perhaps family that are standing by while their loved ones are in the hospital. But it's really, the community has turned out in really a pretty incredible way. And like I said, with these two fundraisers tonight, we're looking forward to actually meeting and greeting. If we can get everything done under our deadline, meeting and greeting a lot of the folks who have been so strong and so helpful to us as journalists in establishing the inroads that we needed to start talking with people here.
Thanks so much, VOA correspondent Arash Arbasadi in Orlando. Sunday's shooting massacre has also set off discussions about gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender protections and rights. It's raising awareness from all parts of our society. International Edition's Susan Yackey talked about this with Tanya Turner with the D.C. Center for the LGBT community.
This is a national tragedy. And I would like to say I, along with lots of my colleagues, were just shocked, especially in light of the fact that this is a Pride celebration and there is so much visibility and so many people are happy and open and we're surrounded by allies. But this was a reminder that it's important to be vigilant, to be visible, and to be vocal because danger lurks and we have to advocate, stay on our toes, and always be aware.
What would your group like to see done concerning LGBT rights, human rights, in the United States?
Well, I would like to say first, I'm very fortunate to live in the District of Columbia where we have the Office of the Human Rights here that there are strong proponents and there are strong laws here to support our community. However, that is not the case throughout the country. So I would like to have more laws throughout the country that support us. And not only do we need the laws, we need to have accountability when the laws aren't followed. And we also need to have safe spaces where people feel comfortable reporting and know that their accountability will be there.
And you're a lawyer. You would like to see this legally be put down so people can be prosecuted?
Yes, absolutely. That's part of it. I think it's a twofold situation. First, there's about advocacy and making people aware. And there is the other arm of prosecuting to making sure that, again, that accountability is there. And also, I think it's important that we also acknowledge that counseling and mental health services are lacking in this country, and I think they're also important to be addressed as well.
Some of our listeners overseas and some Americans here are opposed to gays. Just in general, they're opposed to gay people. What would you like to say to those people?
Well, I can't change their hearts and minds, and I'm not trying to. I'm not asking them to like me or to like us as a community, but I'm asking them to give us basic respect and afford us the basic human rights that all people are entitled to as members of a society.
Well, unfortunately, there is more sad news coming out of Orlando, Florida. Authorities say they have now recovered the body of a child who was dragged by an alligator into the water near a Disney World hotel late Tuesday. Orange County Sheriff Jerry Demings talked to reporter just a bit ago.
At about 3:30 today, we recovered the remains of the two-year-old from the water. And that body has now been turned over to the Orange County Medical Examiner's Office for an autopsy.
Demings earlier explained how this whole thing happened.
Well, there's a sandy beach area, and the family was out just simply relaxing. They had another child and a baby playpen that was in the area, and they were just simply relaxing out in the area and wading just in the water there along the lake's edge at the time that the alligator attacked the child.
The Seven Seas Lagoon reaches a depth of about 4 meters outside Disney's Grand Floridian Resort, where the family is staying. They're on vacation from the Midwestern state of Nebraska. Deming says the boy's parents did jump in the water in an attempt to rescue the child. You're listening to International Edition. This is VOA.
News happens around the clock, and VOA brings you the latest at the top of each hour.
This is Joe Palca.
I'm Victor Beatty.
Francis Alonso.
Tune in for a summary of the news at the top of each hour, around the clock on The Voice of America. Hourly newscasts on the radio and on the internet at voanews.com. VOA, a leader in news coverage for over 70 years.
Jazz America.
This is Russ Davis, the host for Jazz America, where each week we give you the best of jazz, past and present, and conversation with the music makers. You can hear the program online at voanews.com and on the air on VOA each Saturday and Sunday at 13 hours Universal Time. Join me for Jazz America and help me celebrate the greatness of a century of jazz. Listen at 13 hours Universal Time, Saturdays and Sundays, on voanews.com and The Voice of America.
International Edition continues. The Federal Reserve met today to decide what to do about interest rates in the United States. The central bank indicated it needs to get a clearer picture of economic developments before raising rates again. VOA Markets reporter Jill Malandrino joins us with more on what the Fed decided to do.
The Fed met today and interest rates have been left unchanged, but it's not the decision itself that counts. It's the language that they use in the communique and the press conference that we look at for clues as to when the next interest rate hike might take place. In this release, they weren't explicit about that, however, and they also lowered their 2017-2018 outlook for the number of Fed fund rate hikes that are expected. Six officials now only see one more hike for 2016. That's up from only one official in the last meeting. Another interesting point was there was no dissensions this time, which signals that we will see fewer hikes because, for the most part, the data was very mixed. Labor slowing a bit, but they expect the economy to pick up, particularly in spending and housing. Inflation is below the 2% target, but they see that moving to that 2% target. So I think between now and the next meeting in July, it makes sense not to have done a hike this time because we have more inflation data. We have that key employment report that spooked the markets a couple of weeks ago that we will get in the first week of July. We have the retail sales data coming out. And in addition, we have the Brexit vote. So I think it was prudent for them not to make a move with all of these factors coming up over the next few weeks. So again, you know, it's anyone's guess when we will get another hike. In response, the banks, all those stocks tanked. Lower interest rates are not good for bank margins, so that move made sense. We see yields move lower on bonds, and the S&P went higher. So, again, another mixed market, and chances are we'll probably have this choppy trading action until we get through Brexit and some of the other important data points.
It wasn't a big surprise that they didn't do anything with interest rate hikes, was it, considering the last jobs report that you mentioned that was so unexpectedly in the wrong direction?
Right. It was unexpected, but before that jobs report, there was a big expectation that they were going to do something in June because you had all the Fed speakers on the circuit talking about how they were getting more hawkish, where they thought it was time to rate hikes. But as soon as we got that disappointing jobs number, the rate hike expectations went real low. So we're kind of in the same position that we were in April or May, where it's anyone's guess when we'll have a hike.
Overall, are they concerned that economic growth is starting to slow up?
They don't see the economy slowing. It's more in the job market because they are quite positive on data that we're getting in the consumer spending and housing market. So it's not as much of our economy slowing down. I think it's macro global concerns that the Fed is looking at and the fact that our labor market is not growing as quickly as they had expected.
This is Science in a Minute.
In the first released Star Wars movie, A New Hope, Luke Skywalker is shown living with his aunt and uncle on the circumbinary planet Tatooine. A circumbinary planet is one that orbits two stars rather than one. Now, astronomers from NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center and San Diego State University say that they have discovered the largest planet, both in size and orbit, to circle a twin star system that's been discovered so far. The planet Kepler-1647b is located about 3,700 light-years away in the constellation Cygnus. The astronomers say the huge planet has a mass similar to Jupiter, is about 4.4 billion years old, which is nearly the same age as Earth, and orbits its sun-like twin stars every 3 years. Although the planet orbits its sun in the habitable zone, scientists say that since it is a gas giant, it's doubtful that it can host life. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
You've been listening to International Edition. Thanks so much for joining us. Find us anytime at voanews.com. Thanks so much also to our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Carl Starling. I'm Lori London in Washington. Have yourself a fantastic day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Since Russia's invasion of Crimea and then eastern Ukraine, it has become clear that Russia is unwilling to abide by international law or live by the rules of the institutions that Russia joined at the end of the Cold War, said U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs Victoria Nuland. To counter the threat posed by Russia's aggression and deter any military moves against NATO territory, the United States and its NATO allies have maintained a military presence on land, sea, and air along NATO's eastern edge in Poland, Romania, Bulgaria, and the three Baltic states. All 28 allies have participated in exercises, training sessions, and patrols throughout Europe supported by the U.S. To press Moscow to bring an end to the violence in Ukraine and fully implement its commitments under the Minsk agreements, the United States has worked with the European Union, the G7, and other like-minded nations to impose successive rounds of tough economic sanctions on Russia over the past 2 years. These sanctions, combined with low oil prices and Russia's continued structural weaknesses, have imposed significant costs. The United States is working to increase the resilience of countries across Europe that face pressure from Russia. To help Ukraine better monitor and secure its borders, deploy its forces more effectively, and defend its sovereignty and territorial integrity, the United States has committed over $600 million in non-lethal security assistance. The United States is also helping countries in Eastern Europe and Eurasia to strengthen their democratic institutions, reform their economies, and fight corruption. Energy diversification remains a key component in protecting vulnerable countries over dependence on Russian energy. At the same time, the U.S. will continue to look for ways to work with Russia in areas of common interest, including nonproliferation, nuclear security, and counterterrorism. Finally, the United States will continue to engage directly with those Russian businesses and individuals who share American interests and values. And the United States will continue to speak out against laws and policies that impede the work of Russian civil society and violate the fundamental rights of freedom of expression, assembly, and association in Russia and elsewhere in the region. The United States will continue to strongly support its NATO allies while promoting freedom and democracy throughout Europe and Eurasia.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.